Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in hour two of Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Keep sending in your grilled master credentials.
Yes, on mass texter, you are 1,000% right. That cheesesteak grill is off the charts.
Nick Sainert, Jake Sorensen, get on it. Not that far. Just down the road. Get on it. John and Cortland, we will take your word here with the mad skills. Big thanks to the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese for their sponsorship of the show, providing all you need to make your cookout, your grilling, successful. 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. All right, Jay, to Nebraska, Houston Christian.
Yeah.
You asked the question, what makes a trap game? Does Houston Christian qualify for Nebraska? And if so, how do they avoid falling into the trap?
I don't think it qualifies as a trap game, like a true trap game. But for, I guess a trap game for me would be you just beat a like opponent. I'm just trying to look, just piece together a schedule. You can't even call when, you know, you go beat Maryland. You can't call Minnesota a trap game. You know, say like you beat Minnesota and then like in a regular world, say like Purdue's next. Mm-hmm. And then you have
Iowa, Wisconsin,
Iowa or somebody like that after that, or Illinois, like after sure. that. And then they're the trap game where you kind of, you know, you could potentially overlook them. If you play really, really like sluggish or whatever, then you'll be in a dogfight. Whereas I think with Houston Christian, the trap reference is, can you go out there and perform with the same energy at a significantly different time, which I still can't wrap my head around that it affects how you play. Mm-hmm. It's an early morning game. It's not a night game. Can you like essentially validate back-to-back birdies? Back-to-back wins, and go out there and execute low penalties, good special teams, continue to get better on defense, efficient and explosive on offense. That's the only thing that you can do. You can't control, the players can't control who they play. Mm-hmm. They can control how they prepare and then how they play, which mm-hmm. how they play will be a byproduct of how they practice. Because this is one of the smartest things that it actually helped me when I was a rookie. And I'd played in national championship games. I'd have played at the best college in college football, started for 4 years and all that stuff. So you think I would, nothing would be, get me, kind of nervous or whatever. You know, we've been police escorted to and from national championship games ever since I was in college. Right. Yeah. Everything. You are the team. For my first NFL start, I remember Ted Washington asked me, he's like, you nervous or scared? I was like, oh, I'm just nervous. He's like, no, you scared. I can see it on your face. Right.
Thanks, Matt Washington.
And one of the best things him and Ted Cottrell said to me in different ways is, because I always knew to practice hard and, it was a big emphasis or whatever and prepare as best I could. He's like, Just understand that you're going to go out there and you're going to show, in this case, 60, 70,000 people when I'm starting. And it's different when I was coming off the bench, where it's starting just how you practice and how you prepare and mm-hmm. how you've been practicing, how you've been preparing for the start. And that's essentially, come Saturday, what the players are going to do.
I think it's the quintessential version of a trap game, but it shouldn't be. I don't think Nebraska is good enough, or right now Michigan is good enough to legitimately have a trap game. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but if you're Nebraska, you are still building the program. You know, it would be like if, let's say, I don't know, 97, you open up with a, you know, a UCF, for example. I know it's not the way the schedule went, but if you open with UCF, then you played Pacific ahead of your trip to Washington. You know, Pacific would be the trap game. I think right now, Houston Christian would look like a trap game because you come off a big win, but Akron wasn't really anyone, right? If Nebraska had opened up, you know, with Akron, then gone to Kansas City and beat Cincinnati, then had Houston Christian, and Michigan was the Michigan we all thought they would be coming to town, then it's a trap game. This came up to mind for me too, Jay, because ACC put out its men's basketball schedules yesterday. I think there's a couple just horrific trap game opportunities for Duke, obviously the program that I cover. Georgia Tech right before the new year, but it's at home. That's probably going to be a New Year's Eve one. Then this is just diabolical from the ACC. At Virginia Tech, right after Louisville, sandwiched between Boston College at home, right before going on the road to North Carolina. Blacksburg, a place the Duke really struggles historically. Boston College, who's bad, right before North Carolina. Then you get to the end of the year. The other, like, sure loss that I have for Duke right now, just in ACC play, Virginia at home on the 28th, at North Carolina State on the 2nd, before coming back home for North Carolina on the 7th of March. I mean, that is the quintessential trap game. Now, North Carolina State's going to be better. They're not a pushover. I think, you know, probably is a tough place to play. Will Wade's a good coach. So it's less of a trap because I think North Carolina State is actually good. But let's jump off on this then. How, as a coach, do you help your guys avoid a trap game? Did you go so far into the details and over-prepare? Or does that kind of defeat the purpose?
I mean, whatever, you got to prepare the same way as you did in the following weeks. I mean, obviously, but you're going to be, you know, if you see it slipping, you got to demand it. But then also it comes on the players. I mean, the coaches can only do so much because the peer-to-peer, good peer pressure, whether it's a good message or, you know, a bad message, or trying to manipulate or dictate somebody's actions, is what you want. And so, yeah, the coaches need to, you know, keep the pressure on. I think they'll also look, you know, football is the hard way is the only way. Direct messaging generally is the only way sports are successful. Soft teams don't win championships. Never have, never will. Period. In any sport. So, you know, you just got to really, you know, keep hammering the details on, you know, really, you know, telling them the hard truth at times. We have not arrived. We just have done what we're supposed to do. Why would you, I guess, drink the rat poison and think that we have arrived after, you know, just two games into the 12 game season?
Well, you drink the rat poison because you think it's Kool-Aid, and that explains the trap.
Yeah. And that's a huge problem around here. But then it's also, it's, you want the coach to regulate it. You need the teammates to regulate it. And then you got to self-regulate yourself. Now I will say this, that by no means is Nebraska going to lose this game, but could you lose momentum if you don't play well? Sure. Because as bad as Michigan is,
seemingly.
Well, I mean, just how they're just not as good as they have been, and that's hard to be, but they're just not as good as people assume they were coming into the season.
I agree.
You don't want to go into that game without the all the momentum of, we've been executing well, we've been getting better every week, we've been reaching some, you know, if they have internal goals and all this other stuff, and then you get on a live stage, I think at, you know, 2:30 or whatever the game is,
and you national get, stage,
and
CBS.
You get that little, you know, doubt in your back of your mind. You want to show up there both physically ready, mentally ready, and spiritually ready.
When you think about Michigan too, Jay, I know that we're skipping ahead 10 days, and that's part of avoiding the trap. But Michigan, despite not being as good as they have been, is still plenty talented.
Oh, they have talent. They're just
up and down the roster. Yeah, their recruiting rankings are still above Nebraska's. And, I mean, yes, some of the fabric in the DNA has been eroded, right? Jim Harbaugh's not there anymore. Some assistants are gone. Jerome Moore won't be around. You know, he's one of the national champions on that staff. But enough of those players were around for the national championship that still know what winning feels like and what it looks like.
Oh, and Sharon Moore knows what it takes. I mean, he's
now he won't be there, and that's why these next two weeks are big for Michigan. How do they respond? They're being questioned right now
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to see, Jay, is it the same Michigan team, or is it true that the fabric's eroded based on how they handle these next two games with Sherrone Moore gone? Is there discipline in place? Are the other coaches, you know, ready to step in and assume some of that void? If Michigan's the same Michigan it's been in terms of the DNA, maybe that they're still operating the same way. Talent isn't quite the same. Harbaugh factor, no cheating, whatever. They can still operate at their same standard and only be 8-4, 9-3. But that's still better than Nebraska has been. And Nebraska needs to feel good about the last 2 weeks going into Michigan. Yeah. Because no matter what Michigan's record is, Nebraska's not going to walk into Memorial Stadium and just push Michigan around. They're going to have to earn it.
No, I mean, Poggy coming in. He was there before he took the Charlotte job. He's legit. He essentially made that prep Catholic school in Baltimore essentially a national powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys are playing in the NFL, but he knows how to coach. He knows the Michigan way, per se. Wink Martindale is a demanding defensive coach. He is not going to back down.
Nope.
Period.
He's probably going to ramp it up.
I guarantee you, he's got a two pincher dip in his mouth with those Oakley shades, and he's getting it cracking all week.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come in and motivated. They're coming in, their backs are going to be against the wall. So you're going to get a game, Michigan team. But what I'm saying is by no means don't try to talk yourself into JJ McCarthy and all those guys playing. They're going to be formidable. But as you're going to, you show up to the game expecting the best version of Michigan. You expect them to be better than they were in a road game, the second game of the year at Oklahoma. You expect them to be better in game four. You expect Bryce Underwood to be tremendously better in game four.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you prepare for that, and like you prepare for Houston Christian, then it'll go in Nebraska's way. I mean, you're going to still prepare, play the same way, pad level, finishing plays, echo the whistle. Sure, Michigan will obviously provide, you know, stronger and longer resistance, but that doesn't change how you handle your business. And you're sure it'll be a little bit harder, but, you know, all the things you've done leading up to it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
And practice and preparation, and obviously the games will lead to an easier path against Michigan.
And Nebraska, to 0102's point here, Nebraska struggled with FCS teams before. You know, and that's not to say every FCS team is created equal.
Listen, Austin, if Nebraska loses to Houston Christian, I'm telling you this right now.
Well, I'm not saying loses. I'm saying
I'm shaving my head bald. Do you understand me?
Another clip. Understood.
Okay.
I'm not even saying lose.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying Nebraska can't afford to have it look like North Dakota couple years ago.
No.
You know, even Northern Iowa last year, Purple Cats had the ball the majority of the first quarter.
Yeah, you can't be in a dogfight where you're losing leverage. Yeah, that's where aesthetically it has to be right. That's a clean game. That wasn't a clean game. Now you need a clean game.
Yeah.
And you got to play a faceless opponent. You got to have a faceless opponent preparation. Sure. You know, let's not be dumb and understand that, you know, the amount of, you know, aura or whatever it is around this game versus Michigan is going to be significantly different. That's just a known. You knew that way back when the schedule came out in whatever month, or when you knew that they were on the schedule. You didn't even know when you were playing. You just knew they were on the schedule. So, you know, I just think that, you know, this is the learning process for all these, you know, players and young men in the football program. And that's what I said at the beginning of the first segment, in I think 3 o'clock, is like the really good thing is every single player on that team has to answer the bell in some form or fashion. So then therefore all the things that we're talking about, and then I'm assuming the coaches are talking about them in probably different terms and way more specifics or whatever, or what they want or what they expect. It should be all ears. It should be all ears. Because if you
think, all ears and a lot of notes.
Because if you think you've arrived by week two, you know where you're going to be in week six?
3-3
No. You under if you're a player and think you've arrived after playing two games, you'll be on the bench.
Even worse.
Because there'll be enough guys that are almost, you know, like maybe nipping at your heels for playing time, or maybe they're playing over you and you're the next guy in. You'll get surpassed, and then therefore you know, a few weeks down the road, because you hadn't used the right approach, you'll be sitting on the bench.
You sure will, and that's where I will say, Jay, again, only 2 weeks, that's far too early to draw any lasting conclusions. Nebraska does seem more mature. And I know there were some questions from fans about that throughout the course of the offseason, with how much Nebraska was, shall we say, out and about on the town. When? Stuff that didn't seem like football, necessarily. Even the Big Ten media days, right? A lot of pomp and circumstance, and a lot of comments being made. I'm not going to single players out, but Jay, I think through 2 weeks, Nebraska has done about as good a job as you could ask. Yeah. You know, for the first 2 weeks, has it been perfect? No. But has Nebraska answered every question? No. But you know what? They came out, took Cincinnati's best shot, and won a game. They came out, barely let Akron throw a punch. Maybe got surprised by a jab or two at the end of each half. But I think as best as we could have anticipated for this Nebraska team, it's come out and handled business in a mature fashion. And that's why I'm less worried about how Saturday looks, because I think the way that they were able to close out against Cincinnati and the way that they responded to Matt Rhule at halftime and Dana Holgorsen, especially on the offense, you know, wanting to have another drive after that fourth drive that irritated him, like he said yesterday, like, maybe it hasn't been perfect, but I have been pretty impressed with the general maturity level in response to coaching from this team through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they've been able to do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, sometimes at halftime, you got to get tightened up a little bit. And, you know, what, you know, if you're, you know, like, yeah, I think you said, like, if your standard is just being okay with being okay, then, you know, you need to, you know, get off the bus. And so, you know, I think they've been able to do what they're supposed to do. Obviously, the Cincinnati game was probably not as close as you'd like, but ultimately they were able to do what they're supposed to do. And in order to get where they want to get, you know, or like they say, is that where they want to get, is that they have to, you know, really handle their business. And, you know, we got a texter saying, well, you know, nobody's talking about Houston Christian. You know, they're a legit team. You know, their first game against Arkansas Baptist, it was 69-0, and then they lost to Eastern Kentucky 20-10 at Eastern Kentucky. Now they come to Nebraska and they play the likes generally of Northern Colorado, Texas, Rio Grande Valley, Northwestern State, McNeese, Southern, Southeastern, Nichols, Stephen F. Austin, which is generally or had been a good football team, East Texas A&M, and Incarnate Word, right? That's where old Cam Ward first got started.
Right. And where former Nebraska commit and player on the roster for 1 year, Richard Torres, is the current starting quarterback.
He's been balling.
There's never a question about the big arm.
Yeah, first week. You know, I think one of the main reasons, you know, you don't talk a lot about Houston Christian, right, wrong, or indifferent, because I think this game really, this whole season, and particularly this game, because you're trying to, you have a young roster and a program that's trying to mature along with the roster and all this other stuff. is really it's about what they do day in and day out.
About what Nebraska does.
Yeah, that's their that's their number one opponent. Primarily 10 weeks or 12 weeks out of the year. They're number one. Mm-hmm. Because if you handle that, whether you're playing this week or in Happy Valley or wherever it needs to be, it'll generally work itself out. So I think that's where it's been kind of like the thorn in the side for Nebraska over the last however many years is mm-hmm. not being able to handle yourself, which then leads to, you know, inconsistent play. And so that's where the coaches are really trying to hammer home the details. That's where the players should be really hammering home the details and everybody start to, you know, really keep the standard as high or even higher, no matter who you're playing, whether it's Houston Christian or next week against Michigan.
We'll keep talking about this game, what it means for Nebraska, more of our expectations for players and coaches over the course of the next couple of days. Normally, we would be joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald coming up next. We will not be joined by him today. He will be on the show tomorrow at 4:30. Instead, let's hit some NFL. Jalen Carter ejected/suspended. What can of worms did the NFL open up with that and some more Chiefs-Eagles headlines ahead of their Week 2 matchup? That's up next on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along on Old School, Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. This segment brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Based out of Pelham, Nebraska, they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl, triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family-owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more information at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Jay, a bit of a weird story out of the NFL that broke pretty much right after we got off the air last night. Jalen Carter got suspended and fined for spitting on Dak Prescott, except the NFL said he served his suspension while he was ejected. He got kicked out of the game for the unsportsmanlike act, and the NFL said, well, we were going to suspend and fine you, but we're going to count the game he got ejected from as a suspension. Here's the comment from the NFL. Jalen Carter of the Philadelphia Eagles has been suspended without pay for one game for his active unsportsmanlike conduct in last Thursday's game against the Dallas Cowboys. Because Carter was disqualified before participating in a single play, the suspension is considered to have been served in week one and he will forfeit his game check. The NFLPA has informed the NFL that he will not contest the discipline and has waived his right to appeal. He is eligible to participate in the club's week two game against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's wild to me. Correct, he didn't play a single snap in the game. It was right before, essentially, the first snap that the Cowboys took. But he got ejected for that. How can you count that as his suspension? How?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a... I mean, look, the NFL is not stupid. Right?
No.
It's the defending champions.
Mm-hmm.
He's a high profile player.
Super Bowl rematch.
Rematch, but they're the defending champs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first game of the year. All eyes were essentially on that act. They're trying to get this thing swept underneath the rug and just deal with it and say, okay, we ejected him immediately. So it's kind of a little bit of both. It, by the letter of the law,
it's wrong.
He's getting off easy.
Yes.
But nothing is bigger than the shield. In this case, it works out for Jalen Carter.
Well, it works out for the NFL.
It always works out for the NFL. That's why I say
it works out for Jalen Carter because it works out for the NFL. No other reason.
Very rarely does that happen. Does it work out for the players as well as the NFL? It usually always works out for the NFL and the owners before the players. Well, here's what doesn't work out as a person that's been fined plenty of times. You generally, if you present your case right and you're empathetic or contrite or whatever, really have in the way he explained it, which might have, you know, led to not being truly suspended, was there was a background where Dak spit towards him
first, but it's always the second one that gets caught.
Sure, but the facts are the facts, mm-hmm. and it is seen, and Dak admitted it. That might be part of it. But also, I guarantee you, there's like, we're gonna find you a full game check. You will not be able to appeal this. So that's why he's playing next week or this week.
I saw this from a guy named Nick Jacobs on Twitter. He's at a KSHB 41. The NFL opens themselves up now. If this happens in the future during, let's say, the second or third quarter and the player is ejected, is that player then suspended for part of the next game? Are we essentially opening ourselves up to the college targeting rule? You have to miss a game. If your targeting happens in the second half,
you're not then you miss the full game. Happens the first half. You are not Jalen Carter. Not everything is created equal. Is this not?
That's a bad precedent to set. They'll get away with it. But it's a bad precedent to set.
The bad precedent has been set.
Okay, fair.
You're talking about player safety, and now we're going to have 18 games here soon. We've went to 16, 17, 18 less games in the preseason. It's not happening.
Well, then let's flip this over to the side of the Chiefs. Can they now make the argument that, well, Rashee Rice missed all last year, you want to give him a six-game suspension? You can argue we served that last year. What's the difference?
The optics. You had a young player driving crazy on the highway. How it was handled by the parties with his friends and all that was suspect at best.
I'll just say suspect.
It was suspect.
There's no at best.
Yeah, it was suspect, which is a black eye.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to teach him a lesson, which obviously they're both, he's a younger player. And plus, that was, I don't know, man. I mean, if I'm Andy Reid and Veach and all those, I'm calling and I'm saying, listen, this guy was hurt. Okay. He has actively been trying to right the wrong. He's been doing all the stuff he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to knock it down. You might still suspend him for a few games. That's fine. But not the full six. However, was it six games?
Six games.
Yeah, then it needs to be three. If I'm Andy Reid, I'm calling in favors.
I mean, you're asking for two. You'll settle for four.
And then I'm actually going to be happy with three.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like odd numbers.
Right.
But actually, he already missed week one, so then it's just two more if we get three. It's all the way getting to the even. Right? But, yeah, I'm calling and asking him.
A couple of people have said spitting is not as close as, guns and hit and runs.
What?
I understand the suspensions are not for the same thing. It's about the enforcement of the punishment, not the punishment itself.
It's all of it's about how you danced around suspension and the timing of when it is the same, because you're saying essentially he got ejected in the first quarter and missed the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So then therefore he was suspended.
No, he wasn't suspended.
No.
You know, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Yes.
Right? Well, Rice was hurt. And he had in the real world criminal investigation was done. And he didn't serve time and all. He did whatever he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finally got around to it. But he had already missed all those games. So it should have been like essentially time served.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are crazy. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you this right now. Like Matt O'Dwyer cheap shotted me to him and I think his dude named Daniel. There's the only two times I ever went to another guy's locker room because I felt like that was more you crossed the line. Because the NFL, you never try to hurt anybody. Everybody's got families to feed, mouths to feed, and all that. So it is business. And TJ Houshmandzadeh talked about Sean Taylor spitting on him, and he didn't even know it, where he waited outside the locker room for 15 minutes.
Why does Matt O'Dwyer look just like the guy that would cheap shot you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He not only cheap shot me, he said something to me, and or whatever. And I ain't a big. I mean, people have said stuff before, but the fact that he was on a field goal. Like, I never had got into it with him.
That's a Northwestern guy, too.
Big, tough guy.
Interesting. Anyway, sorry.
Now, I will tell you, this, and it was so funny, and this is and the only reason I was talking to somebody about, this position in special teams that I had to play was you're on field goal protection, and I had to play the wing. Like, the guy that's on the
Like tight end, essentially?
I'm the wing. Like, I'm on the end, and that's where they bring the outside rusher.
Yeah.
Well, back when I played, they would put a guy on the inside of you, one guy right over the top of you, and a guy on the outside just blow you out of the water. And so we're in an inner squad, co-practice with the Cleveland Browns back then. This is when I'm in Buffalo. This is my fourth year in Buffalo. Danny Smith is the special team coach. I hated
it. Did you get a fifth year in Buffalo?
No. Well, no, I did not. No,
sorry,
I did
continue.
Yeah. And I hated playing that position because, you know, it's a lot of pressure. You know, I don't want to give up a, you know, block field goal or whatever. And once I kind of got the technique down or whatever. So the Cleveland Browns, that's when they signed a lot of veterans. They had the dude named Corey Fuller, a cornerback from Florida State. And he was just, I mean, he was talking. So, I'm like, this is like extra point field goal block. Like, and he came in one time and he must have knew I didn't like playing the position. And one time he came and like faked like he was going to hit me. Then I flinched. Uh-huh. Right. And then he started wolfing. And then, so the next time he came in or next time we did it, you step inside, do that. Well, he came. Well, then I just hit him.
Got him.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we're just going to eliminate that. Didn't hit him hard, but, you know, I just got into
it. But when he's not expecting it.
So he started pushing and shoving. And he was like, man, and he had been in the league a while. He played at Florida State or whatever. He was a vet, and I was only in my fourth year. And we were getting back into it. So now we're, like, on, like, the sixth field goal protection, right? And he said something. He's like, man, he's like, I'll spit in your face. I said, I just took my helmet. I said, no, you won't.
That guy?
Yeah.
No neck.
Yeah. He was a corner, too. I said.
Dang, Corey.
Right. Here's the problem, Austin. So he says this as we're, like, I'm down in my, like, kind of stance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, everybody laughed at me on the team when they played it over again because I literally just, like, walked right to him, like, as the play was going. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here supposed to be, like, in this kind of, like, stance, and I just start walking towards him, like. And Danny Smith is if you see Danny Smith, he doesn't chew tobacco. Everybody thinks that he has, like, 80 million pieces of gum in there. That's and maybe he used to chew tobacco or whatever, but he doesn't. So he's in there. He's like, look at Jay Foreman. And look at Jay Foreman right here. Where you going? And he just got the red dot. He's like, you and Corey Fuller over here? You guys exchanged the pleasantries? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, but anyways, Eric from the top rope asked VJ about spitting on someone.
Dang.
That's the most disrespectful thing you could do in on a football field or off.
Certainly up the list.
That and like urinating on somebody.
Right? But Missouri deserves it.
That the sign of Missouri, I did it. That was just out of love. I was just watering it. But
say while we're on field goal block, Jay.
Yeah.
Your Bills got some stuff to clean up. Look, Kyle Hamilton almost got that one.
Yeah.
And an extra point earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Come on. No, he went through the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he split him.
No, I was talking about when I was on that.
I know. I'm saying you better call up to Buffalo. I'm like, Jay, Austin, he was this close.
In a preseason game, I had two holding penalties. Yo, you ain't blocking this. But we were cooking. We were kicking extra points. There must have been a point of emphasis, or Danny Smith was telling them to mess with me or whatever. I was pissed off. But yeah, they got more than that issues up there. That defense is suspect right now. Not at best, it's suspect. They got some issues up there.
What's issue number one? What they got to fix? Because right now, I mean, they look better than Kansas City did. They got to win. Obviously, Baltimore looked better than Kansas City did.
And it's hard. It's hard to say the defense needs to be like tightened up when Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You would have liked to see a little bit more resistance. I think they just need to get a little bit more technically sound. But I mean, I think they competed well, and you know, offensively, I felt like they were stuck in the mud until they really woke up a little. It's kind of like how the Vikings were against Chicago. J.J. McCarthy, and then obviously Josh Allen started. Once you give him a little life, it's over. And so they really need to get their, their kind of continuity going. But it's early in the season. John Cortland says that will motivate the captain. There will be no lies. No, that's not going to happen. I cannot believe VJ spit on somebody. Is this Eric in Lincoln?
It's the same Eric. Mm-hmm.
He said he suited up for the game. Oh, no, that's not it. Where's Eric? Oh, Eric says he said that he only did it the one time. Sure you did, VJ, sure. You only did it the one
time. You only got caught the one time. Well, he admitted to the one time.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. There's one other thing I want to get to on Eagles Chiefs. We'll take a little bit of an earlier break here. Could the Eagles become the NFC dynasty the Chiefs were looking like? Could they? Mm-hmm. Is it in the cards for them? Really interesting article on the finances behind it. We'll wrap up hour two with that.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School, another full hour to go here, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman with you. Just a few minutes left before we kick you over to the streams with us, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Or keep it tuned on the radio dial if you're more interested in the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Guardians. Either way, don't fault you. I saw this from The Athletic, Jay. They were writing about the Eagles and how they manage their money. They lead off the article just with a look at all the guys that they're still paying this year. Jason Kelce, Josh Sweat, Fletcher Cox, Darius Slay, Bryce Huff, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Brandon Graham, Mekhi Becton, and James Bradbury.
That's like most, they're still paying or like, still on the books?
Still on the books.
Okay, they're still on the
books. I mean, $81.4 million in dead cap.
Yep, but that's going to come out, break bread.
That's 30% essentially of the salary cap, third most in the league. And compare that to their week two opponent here, the Kansas City Chiefs, fellow Super Bowl team from last year, who are paying about $16 million in dead cap money. When you compare those two teams, I mean, the Chiefs have been the class of the AFC in terms of representing in the Super Bowl. Certainly not without their own issues, but they've won. You got to give credit for that. Philly's been a little bit more up and down, right? They had a couple, you know, rougher years in the last six or seven,
yeah,
but have also paid it off with a couple Super Bowl appearances as well. It's impossible to say who's doing it right or wrong because it's organization by organization. But I thought this was a really interesting look from The Athletic at just how aggressive Philly has been with some pretty big extensions for its best players, not worrying as much about dead cap money or going above and beyond the salary cap for a couple reasons. Number one, you have the 5 years that you can stretch the bonuses out to prorate.
Yeah.
And number two, with the salary cap always increasing, Howie Roseman has figured out that the money you spend now is going to be less valuable in the future. You know, your dollar's not going to go as far in the future. So you can spend money now. And Howie Roseman has essentially called it an interest-free loan, where the salary cap keeps jumping.
Yeah.
So all this money, like they're $80 million in dead cap now.
They get a bonus.
Essentially.
Yeah.
You know, now it's risky, right? If the salary cap doesn't jump, you run out of space, whatever, so be it. But the Eagles have been able to keep more of their key players around than the Chiefs have. The Chiefs made the decision, obviously, to trade a guy like Tyreek Hill. You know, the Eagles didn't make that decision. What have the Eagles done? They've added, and to their credit, drafted better over the last 3 years than the Chiefs have.
Developed a lot better. Mm-hmm. And their draft is what's really led them to the Super Bowl, right? They knocked it out of the park with Jalen Hurts. They essentially got a Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory golden ticket of getting Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
you know, because
paid him too.
They paid him, but at that point, you never expect him to be available. So then they were able to get rid of Swift and Sanders. You know, pretty much off. You know, big contracts off. So you really didn't eat the whole Saquon thing. You had like two kind of eliminated that.
But even that is inefficient, right? To replace two contracts with one contract. Now, worth it in consolidation for a much better player.
Saquon. And that's where they really beat everybody.
Including the Chiefs.
Because what they've done is they realize this is a great player. He's not just good. He's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
So he's worth it. Where 99.9% of the team, they always try to tell you you're not worth it. They're like, oh, yeah, you're worth it. And matter of fact, you're going to make everybody better. And then they were able to get A.J. Brown signed and Devontae Smith in their deal and somehow keep Dallas Goedert happy enough to come back. Mm-hmm. But what they've really done is, when I talked about developing, is Jordan Mulata was essentially a project. And now he is just counting the left tackles. So left tackles, he's easily top four. left tackles. Lane Johnson is the dude at right tackle.
Mm-hmm. Juergens is filled in seamlessly.
Right. Landon Dickerson's
still there.
And, you know, and then you, when you got Cam Juergens, you had him on his rookie contract after Kelsey. And then so you re-upped with Cam Juergens here this offseason as Kelsey comes off the books. Mm-hmm. The timing of what he's done has been impeccable. More importantly, they've been able to draft and develop and then also timely veteran free agent everybody to death. Mm-hmm. Gardner Johnson, twice. We'll let you go get paid. You come back 1 year. Help. Thank you for the Super Bowl. Get you to Houston because we have Cooper DeJean and all those guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Sue midseason.
Right.
Two Super Bowls ago.
And was it
Linval Joseph
mm-hmm. as well. But then now you get Ringo, Keely Ringo, right? High draft choice. So he kind of replaces Gardner Johnson eventually. But people don't realize what they do, right? You get Ty Robinson, right? Who's eventually going to play, obviously, as we've seen, right? So, yeah, we need some a little bit more pass rush from our, you know, three down linemen. They go get Za'Darius Smith. He had like 8-9 sacks last year. Now we're going
to
get
just sitting out there for him to get.
Just hanging out, chilling. Thank you. I mean, it's impeccable. You get one of the probably top seven players in the draft late in the first round and Jahad Campbell that can do everything. Then you were able to get Zach Bond back. Mm-hmm. All while N'Kobe Dean is been hurt, but you don't
Nolan
have to
Smith too.
You don't have to rush him back. Mm-hmm. Now they're not going to be able to continue to keep these guys because if Jordan Davis continues to progress, Jalen Carter is up for another one, Nolan Smith, Campbell, all those guys. You know it's gonna tap out, but for the next 4 or 5 years, as they stair stack their draft, and then you know what?
But I think part of it is they could continue this.
They could continue
because of the expanding salary cap. The
expanding salary cap, and eventually probably AJ Brown will be gone.
Right, he'll come off even Saquon. And that's 5 years down the road.
And that's a huge. But AJ Brown's contract is huge.
It is.
It'd be here within. I wouldn't be surprised by next year. Just because he doesn't get enough targets. He does not. For the amount of money that he's making,
right.
You get one target.
Is that on purpose? Is that a Jalen and AJ thing? Is that a scheme thing? Is that a function of having Saquon?
Well, it was last year until Jalen purposely gave him the ball, and then it was the rest is history. I mean, you got my man reading books on the sideline. Now, I read some books or whatever, but I don't finish them. He finished two books.
On the sideline.
And then he made the book, the New York bestseller. That can't go on forever.
No.
So
either he'll want out or he won't be worth it to you if you're not going to use it.
Right. And so it's they've been able to do stuff and they just like really good players. They have mm-hmm. a good scouting department. They've done it. They're not afraid to make a move. And they have great continuity from top to bottom.
I want to get to this from 5162. I'm sure Super Bowl rings help out with contract negotiations. I'm sure some on the roster settled for less because they knew a ring was very attainable. I'm not going to dismiss that out of hand, right? But that's when you're deciding between going to the Eagles midseason or the Lions midseason, you know, but you don't really have a choice for who drafts you. And I mean, the Eagles are like number two in the NFL in terms of the value of the 10 largest contracts on their team. So that's Jalen Hurts. That's AJ Brown. It's linemen, whoever it is. $240.6 million is the value, which out of, again, the $279 million salary cap, would tell you that $8 out of every $9 are tied up in those players, except that the cap hit for those same 10 contracts is less than half of the value.
Yeah.
For $240.6 million worth of player this year, the Eagles are paying $102.4 million. Yeah. So you got to get the other $128 from somewhere. But that's what, again, we go back to with Howie Roseman, interest-free loan on the future. Players will get older before the salary cap doesn't go up by as much. Those players' contracts will be off the books. They'll have renegotiated. They'll have, you know, converted it to bonuses, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how they're able to make it work. And there's a Jay Foreman factor on this, too. The next three teams, in terms of the biggest differential between value of the 10 contracts and what they're paying this year, 49ers, Bills, Texans.
Yeah.
All doing business like the Eagles.
Yeah, I think it's a new way of doing business where everybody used to be so, like, cap-wary. You have good capologists. You have good GMs that understand the now and the future and understand where the league's going. I think,
and then you have the Saints.
And I think a lot of decision makers don't have intermediate and long-term vision. which affects their now decisions. Howie Roseman has. And you got to think.
He's good at both.
He's had to do it because he was on the hot seat.
Oh, he was so close to gone.
He was close to gone. Mm-hmm. He said, essentially I need one more chance, which then by being on the hot seat, he had to figure out a different way to make up for maybe what he didn't do before. That's why when Sirianni came back, he had been in that position. Mm-hmm. Then they're not afraid to make this, you know, like they had the offensive coordinator in Johnson. Mm-hmm. They got rid of him. They had the other defensive coordinator. I forget his name. He had never called. They gave him kind of 1 year tryouts. Then you go get veterans, Kellen Moore at the time. And then obviously Vic Fangio, who was just a head coach and a long-term defensive coordinator, along with that talent.
There's a rank for
you. The decision-making and the willingness to win. And I always say this, like, there's only a few teams out there that are actively competing, trying to win. And it's probably about 6 to 8 of them.
And the Eagles are doing it better than anyone right now, at least in terms of balancing the here and the now with the future. We'll go to break. Come back with us on stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We got hour three of Old School on those platforms. We have the Royals and the Guardians coming up next here on the FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply in-app only.